Place. My concern is they would rather be involved with, you know, partisanship. They view this as an opportunity to score political points. And anyway, the proposal we put forward is a good one.
God forbid! Score political points? Partisanship? Oh, no! No, that would never happen, George! So it's showdown time in Washington at last. The gunslinger and his little Mexican sidekick against the grown-ups with the subpoenas. Uh-oh. Good evening, truth seekers. Malloy here on the Nova M Radio Network. Ever the defiant decider, the guacamoron declared today that he would deign to follow Democrats to speak to two of his... he would allow Democrats to speak to two of his staffers as long as A... they weren't sworn to tell the truth. B, there was no transcript of the conversation. C, it will all be done in private. Well, I've got a D. Bite me! My God! Can you imagine Bill Clinton saying that? More than 20 members of the Clinton administration were sworn in, put under oath, and appeared before various congressional committees. Did you see the little pugnacious rat bastard today? It looked like somebody stepped on his foreskin. He was just so angry, wasn't he? Huh? Ew! Democrats get to talk to Karl Rove? Oh, my goodness. What more could we want from the little dictator? And we get to chat up Harriet Myers, too? Oh, happy day, and they can lie all they want because they're not under oath? Oh, this will be fun. How generous of Bush. How absolutely royal of him. How Bush of Bush. Why would those dirty, rotten, filthy, communist, liberal, child-molesting Democrats turn that kind of a gracious offer down? My God, especially since he also threw in 3,000 emails to boot. Woo! No matter that they're full of blank pages and redactions, that doesn't matter. Actual pieces of paper were delivered to Congress. That should be enough, right? If the Democrats want some actual verifiable truth, well, then they're just playing politics. Of course Bush isn't doing anything. The Democrats are. Oh, those dirty rat bastards. Oh, those filthy Democrats. They're picking on me, Dick. Where's Dick? What? He's in the hospital? Oh, God, don't tell Malloy. He'll stand up and cheer. What? He's out of the hospital? Oh, well. So Bush will try to block this investigation just like he blocked the 9/11 investigation or lied about wanting to find out the truth about conducting an internal investigation and who leaked Valerie Plame's identity or stopping the GAO's efforts to examine Cheney's energy meeting or blocking the inspectors in Iraq or another just myriad investigations into this criminal administration. When is enough enough? Have we finally reached the tipping point yet, truth seekers? The time for Bush and his criminal consigliers to hide behind the presidential seal is over. Yeah, I got another one of those instant highs that went crashing to the curb when I heard that Cheney was at George Washington Hospital because his clot was acting up. Oh, really? Oh, God, leave the television on, Kathy. Any more bulletins? Hello, CNN. Hi, this is Mike Malloy. I used to work there. Let me talk to Lou Dobbs. Any bulletins on Cheney? What? Nothing? Oh. The news thugs are acting like Bush is under attack by the Democrats. I got an email this afternoon about what's his name? Chris Matthews' program. Oh, you got to watch this. And yeah, there's Chris Matthews on his knees doing for Bush what Monica did for Clinton. I couldn't believe it. I'm watching this going, what the hell is going on here? Oh, there's something wrong with Chris Matthews. He, every time Bush gets macho, either real macho or pretend macho, it's like Chris Matthews just gets all codpiece envy. You know what I'm saying? He just gets I wish I could wear a flight suit like George did. What is wrong with these people? And I saw something today. Now, I may be way behind the loop here. Maybe this was news, or behind the curve, whatever. Maybe this was news a couple of days ago. Maybe a week ago. I don't know. But I'm watching MSNBC. Don't ask why. I'm waiting for bulletins on Cheney. Bulletin. Not bullet. Bulletin. And I see across the bottom of the screen the crawl. Now, MSNBC keeps the crawl going now, even when there's commercials on. Holy jumping Jehoshaphat, can you believe that? So I'm watching the crawl, and it says that before he died recently, E. Howard Hunt, CIA operative, terrorist, Watergate burglar, felon, criminal, Nixon enabler, a real thug, before he died. As a matter of fact, he knew he was dying. So either give that credence when someone makes a deathbed confession, that's why they have a term for it, or don't. But E. Howard Hunt, as he lay dying, told close friends that he was approached in 1963 by what he termed rogue CIA agents to kill John Kennedy. E. Howard Hunt told his friends in his deathbed statement that he declined. Oh my. Now, oddly, again, I may be way behind the curve. Do y'all know about this already? I mean, is this something that's been out there? Why would it be? I mean, I haven't heard anything on the news. Have you? I see it as a crawl going across the screen on MSNBC. E. Howard Hunt, as he lay dying. And I think he was a good Catholic, wasn't he? He's about to go meet Jesus. You don't want to lie as you're about to go meet Jesus, unless you want to spend extra time in purgatory. Do they still have purgatory? I don't even know anymore. But he's laying there dying. Come closer. And he whispers to his friends, I got to tell you something. And he fesses up. Rogue CIA agents decided to kill Kennedy in 1963. Well, isn't that a coincidence? Damn! If I remember right, I think he was killed in 1963. November 22nd. By Lee Harvey Oswald from the Texas School Book Depository. 3 shots, one of which hit him from the front. By a punk-ass ex-Marine, former Marine, former soldier who couldn't even get a marksmanship level in the military. But somehow, isn't that a coincidence? Lee Harvey Oswald actually killed him on the very day that CIA agents, rogue, were planning on killing him. Gosh, world is full of coincidences, huh? You just, I don't know. Spring started 1 hour and 8 minutes ago. Happy vernal equinox. David wrote to me, he said, this was about 6:30 Eastern time today. About an hour and a half before spring. My class had just ended, and I was walking to my car. I get inside, sit down, and to my surprise, a bee was on the windshield. No, it was not smashed. I'm no expert, but it looked like a honeybee. Remember a few shows back, you mentioned something about honeybees and how they are disappearing in many areas? Well, I saw one today, and it just gave me hope. Hope for this death for oil war to end. Hope for global heating. Hope for the Bush crime family getting what it deserves. Yeah, as bad as it is, and it has been, there is definitely hope. Attached is a picture I took with my cell phone of the bee. And he sent it to me. and there's a bee. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Speakers, it'll be our secret.
21 past the hour. Coming up here in a little bit, we'll have some sound for you from the press conference on the legislation sponsored by Dianne Feinstein that rolls back the provision in last year's authorization, reauthorization of the USA Patriot Act that allowed these interim U.S. attorneys to be appointed to indefinite tenures without Senate confirmation. A real sneaky Hitlerian act. We've got a couple of quotes on that. And then Bush's address today, where he just stands there with his little crotch just all bunched up. Oh, my God, I thought he was going to give himself a hernia. It never fails to intrigue me when you see a bully who, in fact, has at his disposal thousands upon thousands of nuclear weapons. Oh, my God, I'm talking about Bush, who, when backed into a corner, acts like a bully with thousands and thousands of nuclear weapons. He's such a little wimp. Bush always backs down. He always backs down. He always cuts and runs. That's why he comes across with the macho, I'll kick your ass kind of attitude that he had out there in the press conference today. So we're going to play that for you, and you'll hear exactly what I'm talking about. Meanwhile, the Afghan government, our little puppet over there, Hamid Karzai, the former a consultant to Unocal Oil Company, who is safely ensconced in his palace in Kabul or wherever the hell he is. Well, the Afghan government admitted today that it freed some Taliban prisoners in exchange for the release of an Italian hostage. What? Huh? Taliban? I thought they were all dead and gone. The Taliban freed Daniel Mastrojankomo yesterday after capturing him in the southern province of Helmand on March 4th, along with an Afghan translator and a driver. The driver was beheaded, probably on the spot, and the fate of the translator is unclear. A spokesman for Hamid Karzai in Afghanistan, a man named Karim Rahimi, told reporters, quote, they had some demands, and their demands to some extent were accepted, end quote. Taliban commander Mullah Dadullah said through an Afghan news agency yesterday that he freed the Italian after receiving five Taliban prisoners in exchange. The deal to free Mastrojankomo has raised concern, so much so that a U.N. spokesman in Afghanistan, Adrian Edwards, said today,
the U.N. does not negotiate with terrorists. No, we don't. We don't negotiate with terrorists.
Well, apparently the government of... any dealings with terrorists makes you a terrorist, right? Just like Chiquita Banana Company had to pay a $25 million fine, I'm surprised that Chiquita Banana headquarters in Cincinnati hasn't been missiled yet. You know, a couple of scuds in there would be a good idea, wouldn't it? Oh, wait a minute. That's right. The president of Chiquita Banana is a big Bush supporter. Big money. Millions of dollars to Bush and Cheney. Big Bush supporter. Yeah, okay, no scuds there. Okay, how about the presidential palace in Kabul, Afghanistan? I mean, they're making deals with the Taliban, right? Huh? Scuds? Hello? Scuds? Anybody home? from Tom. Last night I attended a peace rally in front of Senator John McCain's office near Missouri and 16th Street. This is in Phoenix, I guess. Yeah. There was a good-sized crowd on hand. One person told me the police estimated 500 people. I'm not sure if there were quite that many, but there were a lot. Given the population of the Phoenix metropolitan area, the turnout was not what I would have hoped for. The new Arizona Cardinals Stadium in Glendale is expecting between 20 and 30,000 people to attend an Easter service extravaganza. They're going to celebrate the Prince of Peace. Wouldn't their time and energy be better spent attending the peace rally? I'm sure that if that many people showed up, politicians would take note. The hapless humans, Tom closes, entangled in their fear and superstitions, can't seem to get it together. Yeah, if it's an Easter rally about redemption and resurrection and life, and 30,000 people are going to show up at a football, baseball, hockey, whatever the hell it is, stadium, and 500 show up at McCain's office, and bless the 500 who showed up. But that's the way it goes, right? Americans love war. We love war. We just want it done right. We want to win all the time. The reason we all hate Bush now, you see, is because the rat bastard didn't deliver what he promised us. A quick war, lots of glory, Saddam out of the way, and all that oil over here. So our gas, what the hell is our gas doing $3 a gallon? Jesus! I mean, didn't we murder Saddam? Didn't we overthrow his country? Haven't we killed 2 million Iraqis? Haven't we allowed 3,300 Americans to die? Haven't we wounded thousands upon thousands? And the damn gas is still $3. Oh, crap.
The next best thing to an impeachment hearing, it's Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio.
So, did I mention yet tonight what E. Howard Hunt said on his deathbed? You know, former Watergate burglar, CIA operative, professional killer, felon, who died here recently on his deathbed? He said that he was approached in 1963 by what he referred to as rogue CIA agents who had a plan to assassinate John Kennedy. He turned him down. Wow. Croatian prosecutors seeking to bring a former general and Slobodan Milosevic's wartime minister of defense. His name is Veljko Kadijevic. They want to bring him to trial. He is charged with crimes against humanity. War crimes, murder. He was one of the people who had responsibility for the actions of the Yugoslav National Army in Vukovar and Dubrovnik. Murder, torture, killing, bombing. The Croatian prosecutors want this son of a bitch. A website in Croatia says, for many, it has remained unclear how he was not called before the International Court in The Hague for his responsibility for the actions of the army in Vukovar and Dubrovnik. The question remains asked by many. However, there's an answer. Guess what? Not a problem. He's in Florida in the service of the United States Department of Defense as an international expert advising them on Iraq. An arrest warrant has been issued for Veljko Kadijevic. However, it is not clear whether the United States will honor the extradition request. Kadijevic was named as a co-conspirator with Slobodan Milosevic by the International Criminal Tribunal for the former Yugoslavia in the Milosevic indictment. He serves as a paid consultant to the United States Pentagon, despite the fact that he has three outstanding war crimes indictments against him for the destruction of Vukovar, the shelling of Dubrovnik, and the ordering of attacks against civilian targets elsewhere in Croatia. Son of a bitch, don't we ever stop! Don't we ever, ever, ever stop!
Why they hate us? They hate it because we buy houses!
An advisor for the Iraq War. Someone who has been indicted on war crimes, who is wanted for trial in his home country, and he's living in Florida. Oh, wait. What's this? Now we have the Milan, Italy, the former bureau chief there for the CIA, Robert Lady. He is the subject of an extradition order from Italian authorities for the role he played in the kidnapping of Muslim cleric Abu Omar in Milan. Robert Lady was last known to be in Florida. My God, what goes on in Florida? But reportedly moved on already. The only place the former agent can feel truly safe is the United States, now that an Italian court has issued an arrest warrant for him, just as it has done for 25 of his CIA colleagues who are said to have been involved in the February 17, 2003 abduction of Abu Omar along Via Grazione in downtown Milano. According to recent findings brought to light by American journalist Matthew Cole, writing in the March issue of GQ, it's not just the agents involved in the induction who need to be protected by the CIA. Those truly responsible are to be found in the higher echelons of the U.S. administration, according to Cole, who claims that current U.S. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice personally approved the kidnapping when she served as Bush's national security advisor. So an all points bulletin here on CIA, former Milan, Italy, CIA bureau chief Robert Lady, or station chief, and that's in Florida. And also, if you're in Florida looking for Robert Lady, is what's his name still looking for the killer of his wife? Is O.J. still down there? Look, huh? Well, they can all get together. And also, if you run across Belko Kajevic. Now, he's being paid by the Department of Defense. He is a paid consultant advising them on the Iraq War. This is from a Croatian blog site. You can check it out yourself. Neretva. Neretva River. Neretva River. Blogspot.com. Once again, Neretna River, Neretva, neretnariver.blogspot.com. Veljko Kajevic is in the employ of the Bush crime family. It's so reminiscent of the Nazi concentration camp killers and death squad members that we brought to this country after World War II. The people who ordered the slaughter of 6 million trapped Jews and God knows how many gays and how many gypsies and a handful of Catholics and maybe a few Protestants and all sorts of different national groups. Mass murder on a scale that made Elie Wiesel stop believing in God! But not too strong an issue for us to hire these filthy devils after World War II. So now we hire them after the Croatian-Yugoslavian war that Clinton ran. And General Wesley Clark, who was the NATO Allied Supreme Commander at the time, and not a single American died in that war. Not a single American. Of course, there were no ground troops from the United States in that war. We slaughtered the little devils from the sky. It just doesn't stop, does it, truth seekers? Huh? Here in Georgia, the Medicaid, Medicare kind of program, the medical insurance program for children is running out. There's a $170 million shortfall. And of course, the Republicans who now run Georgia entirely, this is a one state. There are no Democrats. There are a handful left in the Georgia General Assembly, but they are totally superfluous, irrelevant, and might as well not exist. This is a Republican-controlled state. There's a $170 million shortfall to keep 200,000 children in this state on a medical plan that gets them medical care. The Republicans have decided they're going to stop the ad valorem tax on cars, which is how we pay for our license plates down here. If you have a new car, it can cost you $300-$400 every year. If you have an old, and it declines each year as your car depreciates. If you have an old car, it can cost $60. In getting rid of that tax, and I remember Republicans hate taxes, in getting rid of the tax, they're going to cut something like $400 million out of the state budget. It'll be gone. The children down here, to fully fund this health care plan, it would take $170 million, about a third of that. But the Republicans don't care. They don't give a goddamn about children, except ones that aren't born yet. Ones that are maybe an eighth of an inch long, Republicans will slobber all over themselves to make you believe that they care. Huh? The reason I bring this up, we have a General Assembly down here, and indulge me on this, I never talk about Georgia. We have a General Assembly down here that is populated by the kind of people that you saw in the movie Deliverance. I'm not talking about the city dwellers. I'm talking about the Cretans that live up in the mountains and eat each other when they get very, very, very hungry and can't go shoot a cow. And can't find, dead fish that get washed up because of pollution. Those kind. That's the kind of subhumans that we have running the Georgia General Assembly. One of those subhumans is a state senator named Jeff Mullis. Jeff Mullis, he's from Chickamauga, Georgia. That's up there in the north part, up there around Chattanooga. Chickamauga, big old Confederate battlefield up there. He has proposed a splendid way to recognize George's contributions to American history during a pivotal period in time. Senator Jeff wants to establish a permanent Confederate History and Heritage Month. It would be April. It would be April, which comes, there's a month buffer between what the Negroes celebrate there in African American, snicker, snicker, History Month in February. But in April, Senator Jeff wants to establish a Confederate History and Heritage Month. His proposal sailed through the Senate Rules Committee last week here in Georgia. If adopted by the General Assembly and signed by Governor Sonny Perdue, April would be designated as the month to contemplate Confederate heritage. Ah, damn right! Elementary and secondary schools, as well as the state universities down here in Georgia, would be urged to incorporate that heritage into its history lessons. It's a wonderful idea! The senator's bill would do all of Georgia a service by reminding everyone in the United Damn States of the desperate lengths to which the South was willing to go to preserve the cruelty and injustice of slavery. Hallelujah! And there's more, and I'll tell you about it after the break, brother. State Senator Jeff Mullis, Republican from Chickamauga, has got an idea here. He wants the General Assembly to make part of Georgia law Confederate History and Heritage Month. It's a wonderful idea. If this passes, by golly, here in the great state of Georgia, school children, for example, could spend the month of April reciting the names of the quarter million or so Southern men and boys who died from wounds or from disease in their vain effort to keep their black brothers and sisters in bondage, not to mention the untold others who went home maimed after the war with their arms and legs and guts blowed out. Our children here in Georgia could work on their math by trying to estimate how many widows and orphans were left behind, or on economics by calculating how badly the war damaged Southern industry and agriculture and how long it delayed prosperity's arrival in the South. Our children could tour Andersonville, where the Confederacy so starved and weakened Union prisoners that an appalling 13,000 died and rotted there. Hell, they'd hang out by the trenches where the men would go, you know, relieve themselves, trying to pick stuff out of the feces just to eat. That'd be a good chapter for our kids. Our children could ask why that terrible suffering occurred. And you know what? You know what, brothers and sisters, thanks to Georgia State Senator Jeff Mullis of Chickamauga, Georgia, we could answer that question about the terrible suffering because, well, one group of people wanted to keep another group of people brutalized and subservient. By God, how's that? Thanks to Mullis now, it's possible that part of history will never be forgotten. Hell no! The South shall rise again! Hell yeah! Of course, no proper observation of the Confederate heritage would be complete without a reenactment of some sort. You know, we surely don't want to reenact the whipping of a slave or the forced breakup of a black family or the sexual exploitation or rape of black women by their masters. No, that might do something like stir up demands for an official apology from the state of Georgia. And you know what? Some legislators down here have already made it clear that by God, no such apology will be forthcoming. I don't own slaves. My pappy didn't. My grandpappy didn't. What the hell am I going to apologize for? And some of them down here will tell you, no, we ain't going to apologize. Time to look forward, not backward. Except, of course, for Confederate History and Heritage Month. Instead, maybe we should reenact the April 9, 1865 surrender of General Robert E. Lee to General U.S. Grant at Appomattox Courthouse, because apparently some people still need to be reminded that the war is over and the South lost, and that the South's defeat was one of the best things that ever happened to this country. Signed, David McNaughton, for the editorial board of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Confederate heritage. Jesus God. That's where I live. Where do y'all live, huh? What do y'all do on a Saturday night? You know what we do down here in Georgia? We'll have us a great big asshole rat shooting. That's what we like to do. We'll get the pickup trucks and drive out to the dump on the edge of town, sit there. Most of us who know how to use a rifle will use a .22, and some of them use a .30-06 or a .30-30. Hell, you can bring down a buck with one of them, maybe a deer too. But those of us know how to shoot, we use a .22 rifle and plink off them rats, man. And then we get all philosophical over a bottle of Jim Beam. You know, the high-flutin' ones among us do Jack Daniels, but we do Jim Beam, and we talk about who Strom Thurmond would have had sex with if he was alive today. That's what we talk about. Which one of them old Negro women would he have sex with and have another one of them little old colored, half-colored offspring? And then we chat about whose cousin is the hottest. You know, I heard some old Yankee boy tell a joke the other day. Kindly pissed me off, too, frankly. You know what the joke was? This old Yankee boy, this, he told a joke, and then I just hit him upside the head with my bottle of Jim Beam. Some bitch wound up in the hospital, I think, over here at Grady. But I tell you what, here's what the joke. Guess what this old boy said? He said, how come it is they can't solve murders in Georgia? And, you know, I'm kind of I'm not the brightest one in the world, but I damn sure know how to paint a house. And I said, why is that? And he says, well, in Georgia, for the murder suspects, all the DNA is the same, and there ain't no dental records. And he laughed. And I hit that sumbitch as hard as I could. I'll tell you what, if I would have had my .22, of course it was in the pickup truck, and I couldn't get to it, I would have shot him. Yes'm?
If your house is on wheels and your car is on blocks, you might be redneck.
Redneck? 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 Damn. I can't believe this. You know, I've lived in Georgia, don't ask me why, for 34 years. We're running out of money here, thanks to the Republicans, to fund health care for our children. 230,000 Georgia children are going to be without health care because of a $170 million shortfall. Because Governor Sonny Perdue and this Nazi legislature of ours cutting taxes left and right. Children, to hell with them. Most of them are poor children or colored children, so they don't count. We'll do anything we can to save them old fetuses, but, you know, once they're born... And they want to pass legislation setting aside Southern Heritage and History Month. Yeah, okay. Welcome back, 6:30 past the hour. Cindy writes in about the Southern Heritage and History Month being proposed here in Georgia to be the month of April. Cindy writes, isn't April the same month that the KKK and the white supremacists celebrate Hitler's birthday? Don't they celebrate their theory during that month? Is it entirely coincidental that this jackass would choose April? By the way, have we ever had the conversation regarding how is it that we, quote, celebrate, close quote, the Civil War in reenactments? How have reenactments of wars in other nations continued the hatred centuries after the fact? In particular, I think of Islam and the Sunnis and Shiites. Is this really about, quote, the South shall rise again, end quote? They just can't give it up, can they? The Americans kicked their behinds. The ones that ran to Texas got their rears kicked by the Mexicans. I guess they want a little more ass whipping? Bring it on. Yeah, I don't know. Do other places around the world, do they have reenactments of wars? Do they have a reenactment of the Battle of Dunkirk? What, do they send a bunch of Brits over to France and then have them all scramble down the white cliffs of Dover for boats to rescue them while the Germans fire on them? This is insane. Do the Russians reenact the execution of the Tsar and his wife and family? But now here, oh yeah, hell yeah, especially down here in Georgia, you're damn right. We have something down here called the Sons of Confederate Veterans. They have them in a lot of southern states. Somebody just sent me an email. In Florida, there's an exhibit. Where is it? Here it is. There's an exhibit at in Tallahassee. at the Mary Brogan Museum of Art and Science. And the exhibit is called The Proper Way to Hang a Confederate Flag. The exhibit has sparked controversy with the local chapter of the Sons of Confederate Veterans. They've asked for the museum to remove it. And what it is, it's a picture of a hangman's noose and a gallows. And in the noose is a Confederate flag. Well, hell yeah. Of course, what else would it be? All right. I just had to get into a little of the southern thing from here in Georgia. I get a lot of people say to me, well, why in the hell do you live there? The weather's good. There's no season like spring in Georgia, in the Atlanta area. You just can't. I mean, granted, our summers are hell, not because of the heat, because of the pollution, auto pollution. We got mountains. The seashore's not that far. The Gulf of Mexico's not that far. Oh, I don't know. I have no idea why we're still here. Press conference today on the new legislation sponsored by Dianne Feinstein that rolls back and it passed, what was it, 94-2 or something, Kathy? Golly damn, awful lot of Republicans voted getting rid of this thing. Huh? What do you think? See, this is what gets me about the Republican members of Congress. They think that the Bush and Cheney and Gonzalez and the rest of these monstrous, murder, stupid-ass, bully thugs, they think the Republicans of Congress think that the Bush crime family is their ally. No, they're not. You know the eight attorneys, federal attorneys who were fired? They're all Republicans. You dumbass Republicans, you are just dumbasses. You know what I'm saying? Hee-haw, you are dumbasses. You are just dumbasses. You are capital D-um asses. Do you know that? But that's all right. You love your ignorance. You remind me of Zell Miller.
Well, I'm going to support George W. Bush because I want my grandchildren.
That's how he talks.
You want to duel with me, Chris Matthews?
Legislation sponsored by Dianne Feinstein rolls back the provisions of last year's reauthorization USA Patriot Act that allowed the U.S. Attorney General to appoint interim U.S. attorneys forever without Senate confirmation. Nice trick. This was a Rovian idea. This is to try to get where Rove... There's only one thing Rove wants. He doesn't care about oil. He really doesn't. He doesn't care about world domination. He really doesn't. The people that are in the Bush crime family care about that. He doesn't give a tinker's damn about Israel. He doesn't give a tinker's damn about Afghanistan or Iraq. Nothing. You know what, Karl Rove? His sole reason for sucking in my oxygen, his sole reason for being alive, is to build what he called a permanent Republican majority in this country. In other words, one-party system of government that would be here long after Karl Rove is eaten by worms. That's what he wanted. That's what he was going after. That's all he wants. This is what his hero, Lee Atwater, who was the first Republican operative to try this, until a brain tumor started eating Lee's brain. And on his deathbed, Lee Atwater, up there in North Carolina, while his brain is dissolving into water, Lee Atwater says, "I'm so sorry that I did what I did to the American political system. Oh, welcome me into the embrace of Jesus." And Jesus turned out to be a Democrat. Oh, sorry, Lee. So that's the only thing Karl Rove is about. He doesn't give a tinker's damn about anything. He wants fascism in the United States, like his relatives helped bring to Germany. That's all he wants. That's all he cares about. And giving the President of the United States, or his handler, Dick Cheney, the power to fire federal attorneys and replace them forever with toadies, with thugs, with people who are not even graduates of law school. That's what this is about. Patrick Leahy, Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman, on the late night document dump from the Justice Department last night when the Senate Judiciary Committee received a bunch of redacted email, clearly in a hasty attempt at a cover-up. And Patrick Leahy saying that he'll subpoena Bush crime family members who don't voluntarily testify.
We have high-ranking Bush administration officials who have misled Congress and the American people about the details and the design of a secret plan to fire these prosecutors.
Yeah.
It was an abuse of power committed in secret to steer certain outcomes in our justice system and then to try to cover up the tracks.
Well, do something.
We hope the administration will cooperate with us, but if they don't, then we'll subpoena them.
Yeah.
Because our documents show they still leave things out. You know, they dumped a pile of documents on us last night. This is one of the documents. You may notice a lot of white space in here. I'm a printer's son. I know how you could fit in a lot in there.
Yeah.
And I suspect there was a lot. Redacted, redacted, redacted. I think they're spending, you know, one of the things I want to look at is appropriations, how much money they're spending on whiteout down there. Because they're certainly not spending much on print. We're not getting the full answer.
All right. Senator, dump the stand-up comedy crap. Leave that to Mark Maron, okay? Just dump it. Don't talk about you want to find out how much you spend on whiteout. Don't even try. This is serious business, Patrick. Come on, get your ass in gear, buddy. Subpoena them. And then fight it to the Supreme Court, because that's what it's going to take. Senator Dianne Feinstein, the author of the legislation to repeal the Patriot Act for provisions. Here she describes how this sneaky Patriot Act provision allowed for the improper firing of U.S. attorneys and why she introduced this legislation.
On one day, December 7th, seven U.S. attorneys were told they would have to retire by January the 15th. This was done under a little-known amendment to the Patriot Act, which was passed in March of 2006. No senator knew this was in the bill. This incident has shined a bright light into the inner workings of the Bush administration, and what it has revealed is not pretty. We've seen the arrogance of an administration that has operated without serious congressional oversight. We've seen shifting explanations from performance-related to loss of confidence to we can do better. I'm here today to say that those days are over. This legislation is now passing the Senate, and I'm confident it will pass the House.
Okay, that's cool. All right, Senator Feinstein, that's good. That's cool. Let's see you stick to your guns. George Bush is a bully punk. He will cut and run at the sound of a subpoena. But Cheney isn't. Cheney will force this, and this is not a constitutional crisis. No, hell no. This is how democracy is supposed to work. You get some arrogant son of a bitch in the White House, and it's up to the legislative branch to rein him in. That's something the Republicans have not done for 6 years. And all of a sudden, when the Democrats come back in power and say, wait just a minute, Mr. B. Hold on. Don't get all up in our face with this USA Patriot Act. You're going to appoint without our approval attorneys. Or fire him, serve at the president's pleasure. What the hell does that mean? That sounds like Monica Lewinsky. They don't serve at the president's pleasure. What are you, gay? Well, let's see, Senator Leahy. Let's see, Senator Feinstein. Let's see if you got the mettle.
Let the weapons flow. Destabilize the Middle East, enrich the CEO, lie down, people, lay down your Bill of Rights, tell James Madison we had to let those amendments go.
It's okay, Republicans. The pain will be over soon. Take a deep breath. Find your happy place. It's more of Mike Malloy.
Kate emails me, remind me about the Southern Heritage and History Month plan for April. Yeah, Martin Luther King Jr. was killed April 4th. So sure, they would want to make April Southern Heritage and History Month. All right, back to this press conference today. Dianne Feinstein continues on the redacted email and ongoing investigation. Even after her legislation passes, I hope she holds to that.
The passage of this bill is not the end of our investigation. Major questions remain, and the documents released last night only reveal more questions that need to be answered. What was the real reason why these eight U.S. attorneys were fired, especially in light of the fact that six of the eight were involved in prosecuting corruption? There appears to be names of fired attorneys that have been redacted. Senator Leahy showed you one of what are about 12 pages of these redactions. Will it be disclosed whether there are more U.S. attorneys who are asked to resign? Will Karl Rove and other White House officials come before the Senate under oath and disclose their role in this matter? The time for slippery explanations is over.
Yeah, that's right, Senator Feinstein. And the time for pink tutu Democrats is over, too. So I hope, with all due respect, Madam Senator, that you'll stop asking the rhetorical questions. Will Karl Rove and other White House officials come before the Senate? Will they be under oath? Will they disclose their role? And that's up to you, Senator. So let's hope that you and Leahy and the Democrats will and Chuck Schumer and anybody else who wants a piece of this Bush crime family, let's hope that maybe this time you all won't sit around and say, well, okay, let's let John Roberts onto the Supreme Court. Okay, well, let's let Sammy the Fish Alito onto the Supreme Court. Well, I don't want to filibuster against this federal judge. What do you say, Senator Feinstein, huh? Can you find your middle, your center, that power point in your solar plexus? Can you come out of there instead of your husband's wallet? Can you? And Senator Leahy, can you get a grip? Can you get a grip? And instead of doing what the insurance industry wants, can you, Senator Leahy, for once stand up and fight? I mean, really fight. Can you? Chuck Schumer then describes how important it is to have impartial, non-politicized U.S. attorney appointments and how crooked the Bush crime family has been in other areas where they put politics ahead of the public. Oh, go get him, Charles.
The fundamental trust in U.S. attorneys and the Justice Department has been shaken. The fundamental view that when you see that eagle on the buildings of the Justice Department clutching arrows in her claw without fear or favor, laws administered without fear or favor, we've just had too much evidence pile up that that's not what has happened in this Justice Department, and frankly, not just on the issue of U.S. attorneys, but on national security letters, in the Civil Rights Division, in wiretapping. Issue after issue after issue, it seems all too frequent that politics came first. And that is a real problem.
Okay, we know that, Senator Schumer. With all due respect, Your Honor, can you stand up on your hind legs now? You and Senator Feinstein and Senator Leahy and the rest of the Democrats, can you do it? Can you just do it this time? Can you fight these evil sons of bitches? Come on, Chuck, you can do it. You can do it. You know, fascism, it's a huge hungry wolf, and it's at the door. Come on, Chuck, you can do it. You can do it.
Even when you're clever and so cool, but I'm not one of those bosses who just cuts his losses. Firing my friend Carl would be too cruel. Stand by your man. Stand by your man.
Reality Radio for a Rational World. The Mike Malloy Show, only on Nova M Radio.
26 before the hour, a program that I forgot this earlier. We were going to do a retrospective because, remember, the Bush crime family wants you to forget everything. On the run-up to the Iraq War, we're going to do that tonight, but too many other things have come up. We're going to do it Friday night. Comments from people. We need to keep in mind the lies that we're told to get us into this butchery, this abattoir that is the Iraq Civil War. So that'll be Friday night. Also, a little bit later on tonight, I want you to hear something. It's a big hit at YouTube. Our friend Jim Turr at Blue Canyon Productions out in Santa Fe has a hit. A song and a video, sort of. I mean, it's all stills. It's not animated. But at YouTube, you can go to YouTube and just click into Please Impeach Me. It's a song that Jim wrote and recorded. We're going to play it for you here in a couple of minutes. All right, so stick around. Back to Chuck Schumer today, explaining how the administration lies on the firings. The story just keeps changing and changing and changing. Here's Schumer again.
The administration has had more stories than the Empire State Building. It just changes and changes and changes. And ask a good prosecutor, and the witness keeps changing stories, it's often the case they have something to hide.
Really?
Clearly the redacted stuff, but there's much more as well. When U.S. attorneys tell us they believe they were fired because they wouldn't pursue a case that justice wanted, or were pursuing a case that justice didn't want to pursue, what is America supposed to believe?
Well, with all due respect, Senator Schumer, I'll tell you what America is supposed to believe, what some of us have been trying to tell you Democrats for the past 6 years, that the Bush crime family is destroying the country and taking us into fascism. That's what the American public is supposed to believe, Chuck. But we've been telling you this for years. And what are we supposed to believe, huh? Those of us out here in flyover America, what the hell are we supposed to believe? That you guys in Washington didn't know all this stuff? Where in the hell have you been? Where have you been when you voted for the USA Patriot Act and its reauthorization? Where have you been when you voted for the Iraq War Resolution? Where have you been when you allowed these lying son of a bitches to pump your brains full of falsehoods and misinformation and disinformation? Where have we been? What are we supposed to believe? Get off your high horse, Chuck. We've been telling you people for 6 years that you're dealing with a bunch of murderous Nazis. What, now you're going to listen? Okay, fair enough. Do your goddamn job, Schumer. And tell Feinstein and Leahy to do the same thing. Do your job.
What's the American supposed to believe?
How dare you ask that question? How many emails have you gotten, Chuck? How many phone calls? How many letters? How many pleas from your constituents and from people who are not your constituents over the past 6 years to do something? Do something! You used to be part of a co-equal branch of government, Chuck. What have you done? Passed federal attorney after federal judge after federal judge into the system that you knew damn good and well was a Nazi. That's what you've done, Chuck. Over and over and over again, you've enabled this rat bastard in the White House. And now you're going to stand there and say, what's America supposed to believe? We're supposed to believe that maybe, finally, you are starting to wake up. That's what we're supposed to believe, Chuck. God, these people irritate me. The Democrats sometimes more than the Republicans, because I don't give a damn about Republicans. Nothing. But I used to be a Democrat. Finally, new senator and former U.S. attorney. Yep, one of them. Sheldon Whitehouse, Democrat of Rhode Island, gives some inside info on why this firing is so scandalous, because it sends a signal to U.S. attorneys that if they're not on the same page as these corrupt Bushes and do what the Bushes want them to do, why, they might be purged.
in emails that we saw last night. I sat with the committee with the staff at the committee for a couple hours last night going through those emails. The things that struck me were that there was a United States attorney who felt obliged to reassure the Deputy Attorney General that in order to be granted a meeting, he would be, I think the phrase was, respectful and positive. He had to say that. Another one had to have somebody in the office reassure the department that he was a company man. What happened in this case sends a signal, really through intimidation by purge, don't quarrel with us any longer. When you have a Department of Justice on the one hand that evaluates people on whether or not they're loyal Bushies, evaluates them on their loyalty to the president and the attorney general, those are not good things.
No, they're not. You're absolutely right. Senator Whitehouse, what a name. You're absolutely right. Oh, and by the way, in all the excitement that you Democrats are experiencing now in the Senate, because, truth be told, you do have these corrupt bastards by the short hairs. You really do. You really do. You got them. Now, what are you going to do? But in all the excitement that you finally got them, and something that we dumbass Americans can finally understand, woohoo! Don't forget Pete Domenici. And don't forget the congresswoman. Don't forget those two. Where was it? New Mexico? Was it New Mexico? Domenici? I'm sorry. I'm showing my ignorance. Calling the federal attorney. What's going on? Well, what about that? What about those indictments? Don't forget Domenici. Now, the decider. Yes, he was out there today. Boy, had his codpiece on and just standing there like a little old banny rooster. By golly, just daring to impress people to ask him a snotty question. Woo-hoo! Here's the decider's offer to Democrats. Take it or leave it. Raisin Brain really proves the adage. If you got nothing to hide, you got nothing to fear. Once again, we have to ask this administration, why the secrecy? Why not just come out and offer sworn testimony if there's been no wrongdoing? Wouldn't you want that to be public record, chuckle nuts, with a transcript and swearing in and everything is honest and above board? Wouldn't you want that, chuckle nuts?
Today, I'm also announcing the following steps my administration is taking to correct the record and demonstrate our willingness to work with the Congress. First, the Attorney General and his key staff will testify before the relevant congressional committees to explain how the decision was made and for what reasons.
Oh, good.
Second, we're giving Congress access to an unprecedented variety of information about the process used to make the decision about replacing 8 of the 93 U.S. attorneys.
No, you replaced them all.
In the last 24 hours, the Justice Department has provided the Congress more than 3,000 pages
of blank spaces
of internal Justice Department documents, including those reflecting direct communications with White House staff.
Oh, be still, my beating heart. Really? You've done that? Direct communications with the White House staff? Oh, give me the smelling salts. I'm afraid I'm going to just keel over. I'm getting the vapors. You've really done that? 3,000 pages of blank spaces and redactions? Oh, my goodness. So Bush goes on to explain how generously he'll be in allowing the U.S. Congress to interview Rove and Myers behind closed doors with no transcripts, no sworn testimony. As a matter of fact, Myers and Rove are going to sit there with hand puppets, and the senators can ask the hand puppets questions, and the hand puppets will answer. Huh? What have you done today?
Well, I didn't do anything.
What is your name?
My name is Karl Rove.
What is your name?
My name is Myers.
He's such a benevolent dictator, allowing us to talk to his staff and all.
Access to White House staff is always a sensitive issue.
Yeah.
The president relies upon his staff to provide him candid advice.
Yeah.
The framers of the Constitution understood this vital role when developing the separate branches of government.
Yeah.
And if the staff of a president operated in constant fear of being hauled before various committees to discuss internal deliberations,
yeah,
the president would not receive candid advice.
Yeah.
And the American people would be ill-served.
God forbid!
Yet in this case, I recognize the importance of members of Congress having... The importance of Congress have placed on understanding how and why this decision was made.
So
I'll allow relevant committee members on a bipartisan basis to interview key members of my staff to ascertain relevant facts.
Got news for you, Chuckle Nuts. Got news for you. Your boys and girls are going to get up there and provide sworn testimony. That's what they're going to do, you little punk.
You know, if Bush wanted to get all this candid advice and not have to worry about his advisors who give him advice to whom he listens going before committees, you know, he ought to just hire people that aren't, I don't know, criminal liars.
There's an idea.
Then there wouldn't be a problem.
There's an idea. Hire people that under certain circumstances, will tell the truth. I say waterboard the sons of bitches. That's what I say. Get Harriet Myers in there upside down with her girdle falling down, or would that be Karl Rove? No, that'd be Karl Rove. Get him in there, turn them upside down, put a little piece of plastic sheeting over their mouths, and turn on the goddamn water and keep it going. I want to hear Karl Rove confess to killing JFK. I want to hear Harriet Myers admit that she's really Monica Lewinsky. I want to hear that. By God, I want to hear it. Just like the Republicans wanted to see Bill Clinton's penis so bad, because, you know, Paula Jones said it had marks on it. I want to hear Harriet Myers and Karl Rove as they're being waterboarded. Oh, let me hear that. Oh, if there's a Jesus, I want to hear that. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Amen. I got to hear that.
Chemicals and nukes, you know, they never did appear. Yellow, orange, and red, just to keep us in fear. Said, hey, yeah, president has got to go. Well, he lied to us once, but I don't want him lying no more.
Faster than a flying monkey, more powerful than a special prosecutor, it's Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio.
It's about 9 before the hour now, a time for a fact check before we go on with any more of Bush's wild ravings, little coward that he is. The statement is being made here by Republican thugs that there's no precedent or that there is no precedent that allows White House aides to testify to Congress. The exact opposite of that is true. During the Clinton years, 31 times his top aides testified. Or 31 of his top aides testified on 47 different occasions. Now, who testified? Harold Ickes, who was the assistant to the president, deputy chief of staff. George Stephanopoulos, senior advisor to the president for policy and strategy. John Podesta, assistant to the president and staff secretary. Bruce Lindsay, assistant to the president, deputy counsel to the president. Samuel Berger, assistant to the president for national security affairs. Beth Nolan, counsel to the president. Now, in contrast, this is at Think Progress. In contrast, between 2000 and 2004, Bush allowed only one of his advisors, then assistant to the president for Homeland Security, Tom Ridge, to appear in front of Congress. He also has refused three invitations from Congress for his aides to testify, a first since Nixon in 72. Clinton did not refuse any requests from Congress. So when you hear Tony Snow say it's been traditional in all White Houses not to have staffers testify, that's a lie. When you hear White House counselor to Bush say, Dan Bartlett say, I find it highly unlikely that a member of the White House staff would testify publicly, that's a lie. When you hear House Minority Leader John Boehner of Ohio say, no, I think you're violating a precedent here that should not be violated, that's a lie. every single Republican lies. Unendingly and constantly. They are fascists. Do you understand that? Oh, okay. Well, I'm just checking. I've gotten three emails. Malloy, go get a glass of wine. You're going to have a heart attack. No, I'm not. A stroke, maybe, but not a heart attack. All right, we have a break coming here, and as we go into the break, as a matter of fact, I want to play the whole thing. This is a big hit from one of our regular listeners and contributors and yada yada, Jim Turr, Blue Canyon Productions, out in New Mexico, Santa Fe. Look him up online. T like Tom, E-R-R, Jim Turr, Blue Canyon Productions. And he wrote a song, Please Impeach Me. And we think it's just kind of cool. So we're going to play the whole thing. Run sweat, 2:36, 2 minutes 36 seconds here. I want you to kick back and listen. I'm going to take the time to catch my breath while Jim serenades us here. And go over into the wine cabinet over here and pull out a nice bottle of Mogan David and unscrew the top and try to take a break. All right, you ready to do it? This is Jim Turr, Blue Canyon. Oh, another 25 seconds? Okay. Boom, 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 boom. Doom, 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 doom. Let's see. Did I mention we'll have the rest of Bush's comments from the press conference next hour? Did I tell you what we did Sunday night? We went with Christian and Alexandra to see Mark Maron at the Punchline. Oh, that was Saturday. Oh well, it all runs together. Here's Jim Turr, Blue Canyon Productions. Let her rip, Jim.
Impeach me, let me go. I can't serve you anymore. I've done all the damage I can do. There's only one more thing I can do for you. Sacrificial lamb. Serve me up with mint jelly and a side of ham. And while you're at it, Janie too, for once I'll just tell him what to do. Let's let the world know I atone. Take away my presidential phone. It's the least and it is all that I can do. I'll take the sword if it releases you. Yes, let's put the blame where it belongs. For once, I'll do what's right and not what's wrong. Let's let the world know it was me who unleashed this chaos that you see. Yeah, who unleashed all this chaos that you see?
Now, when you go to YouTube and find this, please. Sorry about the end of the hour there. Lost my head. What I was trying to say is Jim Tur's song, Impeach Me, Please Impeach Me, the graphic images go with it. Towards the end, some of them are pretty brutal, so just be forewarned. But it's at YouTube.com, and Please Impeach Me. Look it up. You'll like it. Quick email from George in Seattle. George in Seattle. Hey, Schumer, Leahy, Feinstein, now that you have finally discovered how big of a criminal George Bush is, instead of playing footsie with him, why don't you start calling for his impeachment? Yeah. I do not believe in cutting the Democrats any slack at all. Not an inch. I'm so sick of Democrats. You know, a lot of people say, well, you know, when they do something good, send them flowers and emails. Oh, bat crap. What the hell are they there for? I'm not into positive reinforcement. I'm not into stroking some Democrat that does what the hell the Constitution demands that he does. Demands that he do. Whatever, I don't know. So to the Democrats, do your job. Get this bastard out of office! Oh, never mind. Now, back to this press thingy today with the coward in chief. Bush digs in his little spurred heels
and hurls the accusation of partisan politics at Democrats.
And, of course, Bush doesn't understand irony. I mean, for a Republican, especially a Republican thug like Bush, to talk about partisan politics when he's talking about Democrats, you know, I just wanted to scream. I did scream, as a matter of fact. Thank God Molly and Kathy weren't home. I screamed. This is so hypocritical, considering it is partisan, political, dirty tricks and lies and filth that Bush is so good at, and Rove and Cheney and the college Republicans. College Republicans are not taught how to be custodians of a democratic republic. They're taught how to effect dirty tricks and lies and sneakiness and sleaze, and then to sit around and high-five each other about what a good job they did. Here's Chuckle Nuts again.
These extraordinary steps offered today to the majority in Congress demonstrate a reasonable solution to the issue.
Yeah.
However, we will not go along with a partisan fishing expedition aimed at honorable public servants.
What?
The initial response by Democrats unfortunately shows some appear more interested in scoring political points than in learning the facts.
Oh, yeah, okay.
It will be regrettable if they choose to head down the partisan road of issuing subpoenas and demanding show trials.
Show trials?
When I have agreed to make key White House officials and documents available.
Oh, baby.
I have proposed a reasonable way to avoid an impasse.
No, you haven't.
I hope they don't choose confrontation.
Ooh!
I will oppose any attempts to subpoena White House officials.
Oh, you little rat bastard. Why don't you go home? Go ride your bicycle. Get out of town. Why don't you just leave? Your job future is secure. Your daddy and the rest of these operatives will find you something to do, George. Get out of town. Get out of town. Demanding show trials? Well, we're not in the Soviet Union yet. You freaky, miserable idiot. Partisan fishing expedition? Aimed at honorable public servants? Oh, the ones you fired? Or are you talking about Rove and Myers? The ones you want to sit there with their hand puppets?
We're not going to answer any questions, but our hand puppets will. Ew.
And now President King Jesus' brother, George Bush, took some questions from reporters. This one asked the obvious question about what Bush has to hide. The reporter says, if today's offer from Mr. Fielding is your best and final offer on this, are you going to go to the mat and protecting the principle that you talked about? And why not? Since you say nothing wrong was done by your staff, why not just clear the air and let Karl Rove and other senior aides testify in public under oath?
Some haven't. My choice is to make sure that I safeguard the ability for presidents to get good decisions.
What?
Michael, I'm worried about precedents that would make it difficult for somebody to walk into the Oval Office and say, Mr. President, here's what's on my mind.
Don't worry, it's already been done.
Haul somebody up in front of Congress and put them in oath and, you know, all the Klieg lights and all the questioning.
Klieg lights?
To me, it makes it very difficult for a president to give good advice.
You'll go to the mat, you'll take this to court.
Absolutely. I hope the Democrats choose not to do that. If they truly are interested in information, in other words, if they want to find out what went on between the White House and the Justice Department, they need to read all the emails we released.
Oh, you know, the redacted stuff, the blank pages. You half-witted jerk. I can't believe your crony stole the office of the presidency and handed it to you. Jesus, God. How exactly does Karl Rove telling the truth to Congress impair your ability to get advice and get decisions? Oh, I get it. If he goes to prison like Scooter Libby, he can't advise you anymore. Gotcha. Okay. Klieg lights? What?
You know, get up there and sit in front of the Klieg lights and... yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, they just reflect off Carl's bald spot, you know.
Hey, easy on the bald spot stuff. Last one for the evening. Here we go. Reporter asked if Bush was positive. There was no political motivation behind the firings. Sir? In at least a few instances, the attorneys that were dismissed were actively investigating Republicans. What? Republicans in San Diego, in Arizona, in Nevada. Sir, by removing them, wouldn't that have possibly impeded or stopped those investigations? Isn't 1 + 1 2, sir? And, sir, if I may, I ask also about the attorney general. He does not have support among many Republicans. Can he still be effective?
I support the attorney general. I told you in Mexico I've got confidence in him. I still do.
Oh.
He's going to go up to Capitol Hill and he's going to explain the very thing, questions you asked.
Oh.
You know, I've heard all these allegations and rumors. And
rumors?
People just need to hear the truth. And they're going to go up and explain the truth.
Yeah.
San Diego, Nevada, Arizona, Republicans were the targets of investigations and those U.S. attorneys were removed. Does that not give the appearance?
It may give the appearance of something, but I think what you need to do is listen to the facts.
Oh!
Listen, first of all, these U.S. attorneys serve at the pleasure of the president.
That's me.
I named them all.
That's me. I named them. They're my toys.
And the Justice Department made recommendations, which the White House accepted, that 8 of the 93 would no longer serve.
They're mine!
And they will go up and make the explanations. As well. I'm sorry this, frankly, has bubbled to the surface the way it has.
Yeah.
For the U.S. attorneys involved.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I really am. These are, I put them in there in the first place. They're decent people. They serve at our pleasure.
And I can do whatever I want. They're mine. They're my toys, just like the soldiers. They're all mine. I'm a wartime president. Uncle Dick said so. I can do what I want. These are mine. They're my toys. They're mine. They're mine. They're mine.
People just need to hear the truth, and they're going to go up and explain the truth.
Yeah, and you wanted to know the truth about who leaked Valerie Plame's identity, right? And you wanted to know about the intelligence on Iraq weapons of mass destruction, why that was wrong, right? And you wanted to know the truth about Cheney's energy conference, right? And you swore you get the truth behind 9/11, right? And, yeah, you're all about the truth. It's us, George. It's us out here in the public and those filthy communist Democrats. We just won't play. We're just bad kids, you know? They're mine! Those attorneys are mine! They're mine! I'm doing anything I want to. Uncle Dick said so. They're mine! They're mine!
Underestimate me.
Laura Piggles Bush. When Georgie falls asleep, I creep into the Oval Office, sneak a ciggy, and turn on Mike Malloy. Then I reprogram Georgie's speed dial. The simple pleasures.
In the same. Now she can call and tell me what to say and what to do. They even help me figure out which people I should.
Oh, 22 past the hour. Jen and Mark sent an email. Hey, Mike, I'm sure you have been watching all this unfold today. And, of course, the line drawn in the sand by Bush about the Roe Myers testifying thing. Well, my hubby and I are talking about it, and he brought up a point. Bush's actions right now should be grounds to at least start impeachment hearings. And if the Democrats have the testicles they claim they do, at least back in November of 06, then they should take the Republicans aside and sit them down and say to them, if you want a slight chance at the White House in 08 or any time in the next 12 years, then do the right thing and impeach Bush. He is bringing down the Republican Party so badly that when all his deeds do come out, it's going to be worse than Nixon. Granted, hubby and I were babies when the Nixon thing happened. Don't mean to make you feel old, Mike. But from what I have read and talking to some older Republicans in the community I live in, it did leave a lasting impression. So that's what hubby and I were thinking. The Democrats should have the guts to lay it flat on the line for Republicans because it seems they need to be bullied. But then again, today's 94-2 vote just might be the Republicans waking up and saying, hell, we blanked ourselves big time. Best to you and yours, Jen and Mark. Thanks, Jen and Mark. It's that time of the program where we take some phone calls. Let us begin with Sanchez, who is calling from Montebello, California. Hey, Sanchez.
Hey, a very pleasant vernal equinox to you, Mike.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
I'm surprised it's Mogan Day, but I thought you were going to have champagne tonight.
No, I hate champagne, man. I can't stand it.
Really?
It's an abomination. Champagne is horrible. I was kidding about the Mogan David.
Okay, good.
I wouldn't drink Mogan David if you waterboarded me. Actually, what I'm drinking is, again, a nice Australian wine.
A Merlot.
Actually, it's a Cabernet.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that's good. That's good. I'm having Mike's Hard Cranberry Lemonade right here myself.
But... Well, good for you.
Okay. Hey, I wanted to, I should have called in yesterday, but I was working last night. I wanted to offer up some color commentary about the Hollywood protest march we had over on the weekend here.
Yeah, what happened?
Well, I actually got written up in the LA Times. It was just one little line. It was a tiny, tiny little article. It was just a half page, one column piece in the Sunday Times. I was there to represent for soldiervoices.net, and I was there to, like, you know, march with the Iraq veterans against the war, which I did for a minute or two, but I wanted to see how many people were actually marching at the event. You know, this is Southern California, Hollywood, Los Angeles, California.
Right.
Big city here we're talking.
Right.
So I started at the front of the line. I went to the back of the line. I just stopped and counted the heads.
Uh-huh.
At that point, there was no more than like 3,000 people there. But at the end of the line, there was an LA Times reporter. He was like, you know, asking people, what did you think of the march and why are you here? So after he finished with that, I snagged him for a second. I told him, like, hey, I'm here for soldiervoices.net. And over again on our blog, the soldiers, our members, keep asking, what's it going to take to wake up the American people?
So yeah, yeah.
We got into this really spirited conversation. So that's the reason why I got written up.
Oh, you were in the LA Times?
Yeah, they wrote me up in the paper.
Well, dear God, send me a link.
I sent it to you.
Maybe you did. I've got about 900 emails literally in my mailbox, and I really apologize to you.
Okay, that's cool, man. I'll send it again. That's
okay.
Cool. But, hey, when we finally got to the end of the stage, and this is a couple of points here. Maxine Waters was there, and she was up on stage. It was very disappointing because, you know, it's Maxine Waters. I was expecting a fiery speech, and she kept making excuses about, like, the Republicans are trying to kill the supplemental appropriations bill and hemming and hawing and making excuses, man. They need to wake up. My God. But,
well, I can't believe Maxine Waters would hedge, but...
Yeah, she was. I mean, you know, it was funny. But anyway, when the marchers got to, like, the area, this was, like, between the Kodak Theater and the Chinese Theater on one side,
right.
And on the other side, it was like a Hooters restaurant. You know, this is Hollywood and Highland, which is supposed to be our Times Square, you know?
Yeah.
And so While all this is going on, there's like these speakers, one right after another. The most moving one was a Gold Star mom. Her name is Vicky Castro, and her son, Jonathan Castro, was killed. He's a Iraq war death number 1302. Now, she's up there, and she's while they're holding up a picture of one of the last photographs of Jonathan in Iraq, she's, you know, tearfully recalling his death and what it means and all of this, and she's like, you know, almost in tears saying, we need to bring the troops home. And she keeps repeating this. And I couldn't help but notice, I glanced over into the Hooters restaurant, you know, big picture window, and there's all these diners, and they're watching, you know, March
Madness. Hey, Sanchez, yeah. hold it right there.
Go ahead, Ben.
Because I got a break. Stay right there. I want to hear the end of this story, but I got to take a break. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy on Nova M.
The Mike Malloy Show. Talk radio matters here.
26 before the hour, we were talking with Sanchez. All right, now, you're right across the street from Grauman's Chinese.
Yeah,
looking in Hooters. And
yeah, the end of the rally is being held right there. The concert stage is set up there. By the way, Jackson Browne played, and he can still crank out a pretty good tune. He did an anti-war ballad. And
God, he's almost as old as I am.
Wow. Well, we're all getting up there, man. You know that.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, him, Oza Motley, and Ben Harper played music. But anyway, as I was trying to tell you, Vicky Castro, she lost her son
right.
in the Iraq war to a suicide bomber. And as, like, they're holding up a picture of him, he's in his uniform and everything. I couldn't help but look over to the people, the tourists and the patrons inside the Hooters restaurant, which is right across the street. And this peace rally is blaring. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, we've got all this going on, the chanting. Vicky Castro is saying, like, bring the troops home now. And she's almost in tears. Right. And here you see in the plate, through the plate glass window, the Hooters patrons sitting there chomping on their buffalo wings. And
sure.
on the TVs is March Madness, and their eyes are glued to all this. And like they're completely oblivious to what's going on outside, as if not a care in the world. And, you know, so I wrote about this on soldiervoices.net because, you know, I'm there to represent for them. And I just said, like, this is what is inherently wrong with the American people right now, because they keep asking me, like, what's it going to take to wake up the American people?
You know, the problem here, Sanchez, to use an expression here in the South, when you talk about someone who doesn't have a dog in that fight.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And that's what's going on here.
Exactly.
There are approximately 3,300 families out of maybe 150 million
mm-hmm.
that have had to contribute the life of a loved one to this war.
Mm-hmm.
And until such time, I've said this before, if we are still going to use war as a means of American empire or settling disputes or stealing somebody else's resources, okay, then we have to have a universal system of military conscription.
Yes.
So that everybody has a dog in that fight.
Yes.
And once that happens, then this nonsense perhaps, possibly, will stop.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why the people in Hooters, they don't give a damn.
Of course not.
It doesn't make any difference. You know, it can be here in Atlanta.
Yeah.
You know, here in Atlanta, people drive their Cadillac Escalades, and on the back, or their Hummers, and on the back they have a "We Support the Troops" metallic ribbon. And I just want to lock and load the M50s on my hood and fill them full of lead. Of course, I don't have M50s on my hood. I have nothing on my hood except a hood ornament. No, I don't even have a hood ornament.
Oh, okay.
So
I can send you some fuzzy dice if you'd like.
No, I probably should have those, shouldn't I? But, no, I hear what you're saying. But until there is universal military service once again in this country, then America doesn't care.
Yeah, referring back to that LA Times article, this is what I was trying to refer as best I could through this young reporter. His name, by the way, is Ron Lynn. I'll send you the link in a second here.
All right.
But all that it boiled down to in the article, because he, you know, he didn't have any time for, I mean, any space to really detail. Like I said, it's half a page and one column. You know what that is. That's
sure.
tiny.
It's
so it boils down to me saying that I was upset that there weren't more people there. But we talked about this, and I told him exactly what you said, because we're on the same page here as far as that's concerned. People need to get involved, and they don't have a dog in this fight, so... you know, I'm sorry to say that, but I keep saying it over to the soldiers, and they're sticking it out, and, you know, they keep reading. By the way, it's really getting good over there. Oh, man.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
all right. Well,
that's my take on it, man, but I wanted to let you know, and so anyway, you know.
Well, Sanchez, thanks a lot. I appreciate what you had to say. Take care. We'll
okay.
talk again. All right. Take care. Take care. I mean, the people who listen to this program, yeah, we're concerned. Aren't we? And frankly, we do what we can. Whether it's going to a demonstration or talking about it on this program, or thinking about it, if we can't go to demos, or you know, we can't get 800 miles away to a big demonstration, we're aware of it. But so many Americans just tune it out. It doesn't matter. SG just sent this to me. Tony Snow, March 29th, 1998. I guess he was a... I don't know what Tony Snow was. When did Fox News come online? Anyway, this is what Tony Snow said. March 29th, 1998. Now, you know when that was. That was when Clinton was being attacked by these cannibals, bloodsuckers in the Republican Party. The headline, I guess Tony Snow was writing something, executive privilege is a dodge. And here's a couple of sentences of what he said, March 29th, 1998, Tony Snow. Evidently, Mr. Clinton wants to shield virtually any communications that take place within the White House compound on the theory that all such talk contributes in some way, shape, or form to the continuing success and harmony of an administration. Taken to its logical extreme, that position would make it impossible for citizens to hold a chief executive accountable for anything. He would have a constitutional right to cover up. Chances are that the courts will hurl such a claim out, but it will take time. One gets the impression that Team Clinton values its survival more than most people want justice, and thus will delay without qualm. But as the clock ticks, the public's faith in Mr. Clinton will ebb away for a simple reason. Most of us want no part of a president who is cynical enough to use the majesty of his office to evade the one thing he has sworn to uphold, the rule of law. End quote. Tony Snow, you unconscionable little ass. You little hypocritical ass. Oh, my God. God. This is at Salon.com in the opinion section, written by someone named Greenwald, and SG sent it to me. One gets the impression that Team Clinton values its survival more than most people want justice. And when Tony Snow writes way back then, but as the clock ticks, the public's faith in Mr. Clinton will ebb away for a simple reason, yada, yada, it never happened. When at the height of the impeachment, Clinton's approval rating was over 60%. This little rat bastard Nazi in the White House, his approval rating stands at, what, 29? Hey, Leahy and Feinstein and... Schumer and all you good Democrats on the Senate Judiciary Committee, hell yeah, hell yeah, way to go, way to go. Bring these bastards in, issue the subpoenas. Let's go, boys, let's go, girls, come on, let's do it. In other words, do your damn job. Do your damn job. Back to your phone calls. Let me see, who do we have here? We have Nick. In New York City, who you did what, Nick? Nick? Nick!
Hello?
Yeah, what did you do today?
Oh, I shook hands with Tom DeLay. Hi, Mike. How you doing?
You shook hands with Tom DeLay?
With Tom DeLay.
Did you stab him in the heart?
No. I had a few choice words for him. First off, Mike, we miss you here in New York.
Yeah, I miss being in New York, but I'll never be back on in New York because New York apparently is a city that hates liberals. Okay?
Yeah, well, it's turned into a fascist police state.
Well, New York only wants on its airwaves right-wing thugs, neo-fascists, and Republicans. And because of that, this program will never be on the air in New York except via Sirius satellite radio. If you have Sirius satellite radio, you can hear us, or the Internet. But as far as a radio station in New York, no. New York City is a bastion of right-wing radicalism, and for that reason, I'm being ironic. You understand that, of course. You know,
Mike, I've been listening to you for a long time. Of course, I do.
Okay, but how did
long
you?
Long time listener, first
how
time
did
caller.
You? I've got two questions for you. How did you touch Tom DeLay, and why didn't you shove a sharp instrument into his eye?
I use my words as a sharp instrument.
Okay.
And oddly enough, where I met him was in the building of a former. They might actually be a present Air America sponsor. That's the thing that kind of... I'm not going to mention their name.
Why not?
It was the Forward.
The what?
The Forward.
Jewish newspaper, The Forward.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was there on some business, and
right.
I'm signing in, getting ready to my business. I turn around, and there's Mr. DeLay, and I was like, oh, my God, you're Tom DeLay, and... The reason he shook
yeah,
hands.
Yeah, he's on a book tour, right?
Yeah, he's on a book tour in New York.
I wonder who wrote it for him.
Good question.
Yeah.
It wasn't me. He certainly wasn't me. But you know, I went, oh, my God, you're Tom DeLay. And he put his hand out, and he said, Tom DeLay. And I wasn't going to be that rude. And so I put my hand out and said, Nick Albers. And this is where the conversation went, Mike. He was like, Nick, it's a pleasure to meet you. And I looked at him and I said, sir, I can't possibly begin to say the same to you.
Ah, way to go, Nick!
Yeah, that's just where it started. And then it was like, so how's that case working out for you there, Tom? And he was like, well, they're not going to take me to trial. I'm like, I'm sure. And how do you like our new Democratic Congress? And he was like, oh, I'm rather disappointed in them. And it was like, you should be. They're not the pack of thieves that you guys are they? And it just evolved from there.
I'm just surprised, Nick, that he didn't flick his fingers and the New York City police didn't come and take your ass to Guantanamo.
No. I was very, very civil, Mike. I may have a sharp tongue, but I'm not stupid and I know where the lines are. But the very last thing I said, we actually both got off on the same floor, oddly enough. But the very last thing I said as I was leaving the elevator was, I need to take a shower now.
Good for you, Nick. Thanks, Nick. I appreciate it. Next time you see Tom DeLay, shake his hand, pull him towards you, and stuff an ice pick into his left eye. We'll be back after the break.
We'll be rid of these men.
It's about 9 before the hour. Thanks to the usual gang of highwaymen and bandits who produced this program yet once again tonight. Ian Huff, who engineered and answered your calls in Phoenix. Thanks, Ian. Our senior correspondent, Chris in Minnesota. Mark Marshall is our webmaster. And thanks to the militant moderators at MikeMalloy.com. On the message board, the executive producer of this program, soon to be a resident of Guantanamo, is Catherine Bay. Oh, God, sleeping on the couch tonight. Don't forget to go to NovaMradio.com and sign up for downloads and podcasts and a chance to win $10,000. If we get to the 5,000 mark, I have no idea where we are yet in terms of the number of people who have signed up to become founding members. Yes.
I think we've crossed 100. I think we're somewhere around 140.
No. You can't be that. Back to your phone calls. Matthew is calling from Bedford, Texas. Matthew, welcome to the program. Thanks for holding on.
Hey, Mike. Happy vernal equa. Who's a what? It.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I'm going to, once the program is over, go in the backyard where I have a couple of stunted pine trees, and I'm going to dance naked in the moonlight in celebration.
Oh, you're such a wonderful person.
Yeah, right.
Oh, man. Personally speaking, hard turn here onto what I actually called about. Sorry. I know you're pressed for time. But personally speaking, news, especially coming from places like CNN, C-SPAN, are normally depressing as hell. But recently, I don't know what it is, if it's the Democratic majority or the Nazi minority, but I recently found myself just spackling my computer screen, well, because I don't have cable, with some spittle just from my hysterical laughter from what I've seen.
Yeah.
As you very well know, Republican pain is a particular potent pleasure of mine. It's rejuvenating to me.
Okay.
It's like, I guess you would say, a fine Merlot.
You're a very strange kid, Matthew. I swear to God you are, but go ahead.
You should see me in person. But
yeah,
anyway.
No, I don't. Okay.
Well, watching the C-SPAN streams more recently, I've been getting practically high off the sheer hilarity of the Republicans now. I see it like a schoolyard bully getting knocked on his ass by a twiggy nerd with Coke bottle glasses and pocket protectors and such. Because this is what this is. We see the Republicans just marching their goose-stepping asses on the floor of the Senate and the House, basically whining. My God, just whining. Oh, stop it, Mr. Democrat! You're not being fair. Why are you being so hard on us? I mean, what the Sam hell is going on here? I mean, I think I know. You know, in the past 12 years, the Republicans had been treating the Democrats like Liza Minnelli's used,
easy now.
Well, now the Democrats, in their own painfully weak and subtle ways, are grabbing the bully's arm and twisting it behind their back.
Yeah.
And the louder they scream, the harder we push.
Right.
Impeachment may be off the table, but as long as I see dark, damp streaks running down these clowns' pants every day, I'm getting my fix. And until we can push for articles of impeachment, and I can actually hear the defecation hitting the back of these Nazis' underpants, I won't be complete.
God. You are a weird kid, Matthew.
I'm sorry.
I swear to God you are. All right. Well, that makes sense. I like the way you couched your language in a manner that will not cost me my license. I do appreciate that.
Hey, I thought we were talking about Hooters, so whatever.
Yeah, right. Matthew, thanks for checking in, pal. Take care. God, you got to love that kid. Oh, my God.
Love him or fear him.
Well, that too. You imagine Matthew when he's about, 27 instead of 17?
I want him to come sit Molly, hey.
I just want to make sure I'm on his side of the barricades when they go up.
Matthew, so you want to be inside the tent where he can't.
That's right. Matthew is the type that I hope people keep him away from weapons of all kinds. We love you, Matthew. We're just about out of time here. I'm not going to take any more calls. There's some music. Thanks for participating in the program tonight. However you did that. Well, and by the way, about half an hour ago, we got a bulletin from the Associated Press. Ted Haggard is still heterosexual. We'll see you tomorrow night, okay? Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is the Nova M Radio Network.